I heard one of the senators saying the other day, you see, he said, we've got to analyze it and we've got to study it a little more. And we are tired of studies now. You know, you can get bogged down in the paralysis of analysis. It's time for this bill to pass. And I came through the House largely unscarred through a magnificent demonstration of bipartisan cooperation. Now that bill is in the Senate, and the rules in the Senate are different. That is Rule 22, which for years has served as the legislative incinerator that has burned to ashes every significant move towards civil rights legislation. And it makes it possible for men to talk endlessly and talk until the bill is weakened. And this is what the Southern senators are seeking to do. They know as well as I know that there will be a civil rights bill in this session of Congress, but they are trying to so weaken that bill with crippling amendments that it will have no meaning, and they will seek to weaken it at 3 points. The section dealing with ending segregation in public accommodation, the section dealing with cutting off federal funds in federally assisted projects which practice discrimination, and the section dealing with equal employment opportunities. But I say to you tonight that I'm convinced that these three sections are so important to that bill that I would rather see no civil rights bill at all than a bill without these three sections. Time for that filibuster to end. It's time for these men who represent our nation and the states all over our nation to vote. Just a few days ago, we heard a lot of talk about a stall-in. And many of us felt that that stall-in shouldn't have taken place. We felt that it would have been a tactical error for it to take place. And we made that publicly clear. And so it was fortunate that the stall-in didn't take place at the World's Fair in New York. But what I was concerned about and what started bothering me a great deal was the fact that so many editorial writers and public officials were condemning the stall-in and not condemning the condition that made it a cause of people to feel that they had to engage in such drastic civil disobedience. They overlooked the fact that at this present time, that is a stall-in taking place in the United States Senate. And if these persons are as vigorous in condemning the stall-in in the Senate as they were in condemning the stall-in at the World's Fair, we will have a civil rights bill in the next few days. It was on sweltering afternoon last June that a young, intelligent, courageous, dedicated president stood before the nation. He said in eloquent terms, the issue which we face in civil rights is not merely a political issue. It is at bottom a moral issue. He went on to say it is as old as the scriptures and as modern as the Constitution. It is a question of whether we will treat our Negro brothers as we ourselves would like to be treated. Since that day in June, our nation has known a dark day and a dreary night. That same young man was cut down by an assassin's bullet on Elm Street in Dallas, Texas. I think the greatest tribute that America can pay the late John Fitzgerald Kennedy is to see that that civil rights bill is passed without being watered down at any point. Issuing a threat now, but stating an actual fact, if this bill does not pass, the already ugly sword of racial injustice on the body politic may suddenly turn malignant, and our nation will be inflicted with an incurable cancer that will totally destroy our political and moral health. It is necessary for the health of the nation for this bill to pass. And so an action program is necessary to get this bill through. But may I give what I always consider a warning signal? As we struggle in the days ahead, as we struggle to make justice a reality, may we continue to delve deeper into the philosophy and method of nonviolence. I know it's difficult, and I know that there are dark days still ahead. But in spite of the difficulties of the hour, I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppressed people in their struggle for freedom and human dignity. If the Negro succumbs to the temptation of using violence in his struggle, unborn generations will be the recipients of a long and desolate night of bitterness. And our chief legacy to the future will be an endless reign of meaningless chaos. And may I also say that we must not make this a hate campaign. We must have and continue our legitimate discontent. We must have a righteous indignation. Never allow it to go down to the valley of bitterness and hatred. For hate is as injurious to the subject of hate as it is to the object of hate. And psychiatrists are telling us now that many of the strange things that happen in the subconscious, many of the inner conflicts are rooted in hate. And they are now saying, love a parish. And Jesus said it long time ago, that is a voice still crying through the vista of time, saying, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That is still a voice saying, he who lives by the sword will perish by the sword. And history is cluttered with the wreckage of nations. History is replete with the bleached bones of communities that fail to follow this command. And so I'm still convinced that nonviolence is a way. It disarms the opponent. It exposes his moral defenses. It weakens his morale. And at the same time, it works on his conscience. And he just doesn't know how to handle it. If he doesn't beat you, wonderful. But even if he beats you, you develop the quiet courage of accepting blows without retaliating. If he doesn't put you in jail, wonderful. Nobody with any sense loves to go to jail. But if he puts you in jail, you go in that jail and transform it from a dungeon of shame to a haven of freedom and human dignity. Even if he tries to kill you, you develop the inner conviction that there are some things so dear, some things so precious, something so eternally true that they're worth dying for. And if a man had not discovered something that he would die for, he isn't fit to live. So there's power in this method. I've seen it so often, along with my great friend and associate, this great leader, Fred Shuttlesworth, who's here on the platform tonight. We struggled together in Birmingham, and I watched Bull Connor. He was always happy when some of the spectators on the sideline would begin to throw rocks. He was very happy when he saw Negroes doing that. Now, he was happy because he's an expert in violence and in dealing with violence. But oh, when Brother Bull Connor had to look up and see hundreds and thousands of young men and women, old men and women, walking the streets of Birmingham, moving on up to the face of Bull Connor, singing, ain't gonna let nobody turn me around. Then when he ordered his men to use all of their rough methods to throw them in the paddy wagons, and he had to notice them going in the paddy wagons with humble smiles on their faces, singing, woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. And then as he saw the paddy wagon moving away, he could still hear voices ringing out, singing, "Over my head I see freedom in the air." Bull Connor couldn't understand this. He didn't know how to handle this. Because of this, that community, which said that it would never integrate its lunch counters in many of its facilities, has to face integration at its lunch counters today and in many other facilities. There's power in this method. And so if we go this way, we can truly be God's children, and we can help America save her soul. Maybe God has called us here for this hour, not merely to free ourselves, to free all of our white brothers and save the soul of this nation. We can't save it through hate. We can't save it through violence. If we will take this power of nonviolence, we will go into the new age which is emerging with the right attitude. We will not ever allow this struggle to become so polarized that it becomes a struggle between black men and white men. We must see that the tension in this nation is between injustice and justice, between the forces of light and the forces of darkness. And that is a victory. And also, we will go into the new age which is emerging, not seeking to rise from a position of disadvantage to one of advantage, thereby subverting justice. We will not substitute one tyranny for another. We will know that a doctrine of black supremacy is as dangerous as a doctrine of white supremacy. We will know that God is not interested merely in the freedom of black men and brown men and yellow men, but God is interested in the freedom of the whole human race and the creation of a society where all men will live together as brothers and every man will respect the dignity and worth of human personality. And so if we will do this, we will remain awake through a great revolution. May I urge each of you, assemble here, to go back to your communities after this great conference is over, determined to be involved participants in this great struggle, not detached spectators. We need everybody. We need all of you.
Yes.
And I would urge every clergyman to take it seriously. Many of the people who sit under the sound of your voices Sunday after Sunday cannot speak for themselves. God has blessed you with the ability to speak, with the ability to articulate their longings.
Yes, sir.
He's blessed you with many other things that many of your followers don't have. And God is depending on the preachers of the gospel to lead us out of this dark Egypt of slavery and segregation. We will do this, we will bring into being that better day. And I know some of us wonder how long it will take. We begin to cry out within, how long will prejudice blind the visions of men, and darken their understanding, and drive bright-eyed wisdom from a sacred throne? Somebody here tonight is asking a question. When will wounded justice, lying prostrate on the streets of our cities, be lifted from this dust of shame to reign supreme among the children of men? Somebody's asking tonight, when will the radiant star of hope be plunged against the nocturnal bosom of this lonely night, plucked from weary souls the chains of death and the manacles of fear? How long will justice be crucified and truth buried? How long will we have to struggle in this righteous cause? How long will we have to seek to be first-class citizens in this nation? I say to you, not long. History is the long story of the fact that somehow righteousness is stronger than evil. History is the long story of the fact that goodness defeated is stronger than evil triumphant. History is the story of the fact that there is something in this universe that Greek mythology called the goddess of Nemesis. And we've seen it, haven't we? Our faith tells us this, It tells us that evil may so shape events that Caesar will occupy the palace and Christ a cross. But one day, that same Christ will rise up and split history into A.D. and B.C. so that even the life of Caesar must be dated by his name. It tells us something. It tells us that Good Friday may occupy the throne for a day, but ultimately it must give way to the triumphant beat of the drums of Easter. And so tonight I have faith in the future. We are going to win our victory for freedom. We are going to win because in this struggle we have cosmic companionship. And I'm going to still sing, "We Shall Overcome." In the midst of howling, vicious, violent police dogs, I'm going to still sing, "We Shall Overcome." In the midst of the chilly winds of adversity, standing amid the surging murmur of life's restless sea, I'm going to still sing, "We Shall Overcome." In the midst of the bombing of our churches, and the burning of our houses, and the jailing of our children, I'm going to still sing, "We Shall Overcome." In the midst of hooded perpetrators of violence coming into our communities, dragging us out on some wayside road, beating us and leaving us half dead, I'm going to still sing, "We Shall Overcome." And I'll tell you why I'm going to sing it and why I believe it. Because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. I'm going to sing it and I believe it because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. I believe it because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed earth will rise again. I'm going to sing it because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne, yet that scaffold sways the future. And behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. I'm going to sing it because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. With this faith. Centuries ago, the prophet Jeremiah raised the question. He looked out and noticed the inequalities of life. He noticed the good people so often suffering. And he noticed the wicked prospering. He cried out, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there?" This was a significant and serious question. Centuries later, our slave foreparents came along and they too saw the injustices of life. They had nothing to look forward to morning after morning but the sizzling heat, the rawhide whip of the overseer, long rows of cotton. But they did an amazing thing. They took their pessimistic circumstances and used them as the raw material out of which they molded a creative pessimism. They looked back across the centuries and took Jeremiah's question mark and straightened it into an exclamation point, and they decided to sing, "There is a bomb in Gilead." Heal the wounded soul. There is a bomb in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. And I know sometimes, I see so many of you that I know from Mississippi and Alabama and Louisiana and Georgia and other states. And I know so often as we struggle, we feel discouraged. So often we are frustrated in the midst of this and wonder how the whole thing will come out. But somehow we gain a new faith. We begin to cry, "Sometimes I feel discouraged and feel my works in vain, but then the Holy Spirit revives my soul again. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wound heal."
Ovation here in Cincinnati Gardens for Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. They're still on their feet after a speech that lasted just about exactly 1 hour. Listen to this applause.